From the KERA Newsroom, I'm Sam Baker. We'll start with a woman from Arlington scheduled for execution tonight. Lisa Ann Coleman's on death row for the murder of her girlfriend's 9-year-old son, Dwali Saikautau reports.
He was 9 years old, weighed 35 pounds, and had at least 250 wounds on his body when paramedics found him in an Arlington apartment 10 years ago. Devontae Williams officially died of malnutrition with pneumonia. After a plea deal, his mother, Marcella, accepted a life sentence in prison for her role in the crime. Her domestic partner, Lisa Ann Coleman, however, will be executed unless the U.S. Supreme Court grants a stay. It's a horrible crime, no question, says Coleman's appellate attorney, John Stickles.
If you assume that they did everything the state said, Lisa should still not get the death penalty because her crime does not fit the definition of kidnapping. And without the kidnapping, it's murder. And if it's murder, she doesn't receive the death penalty.
His clemency petition to the state and to the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals with new evidence that he says suggests no kidnapping occurred were denied. Stickles says his client is guilty of murder, but not of capital murder.
A poor black lesbian was singled out to receive the death penalty when the mother of the child was not. How is that fair?
Prosecutors say the punishment for Lisa Ann Coleman, one of only 8 women on death row in Texas, is appropriate because of the slow and cruel process in which Devontae Williams died, not her sexual orientation.
She was given the death sentence because of the facts of the crime and also because of her prior criminal history.
Stephen Condor is chief of post-conviction writs for Tarrant County's district office.
When you're focused on her sexual orientation, you're losing sight of the fact that what she did to this child. This child was basically beaten to death.
Coleman's execution is scheduled for this evening at 6 o'clock in Huntsville. Dwahli Saikautau, KERA News, Arlington.
Maria Munoz Blanco has led the Dallas Office of Cultural Affairs since 2006, but now she's leaving. She told Jerome Weeks her successor's responsibilities for arts facilities may change.
Over the past 8 years, the Dallas City Performance Hall opened. So did the Oak Cliff Cultural Center. The Love Field Art Program installed $3.5 million worth of murals and sculptures at the airport. Maria Munoz Blanco oversaw all this. She says it's been an extraordinary period of growth for Dallas Arts.
But at the same time, some of the most difficult financial times for the city. In terms of changing the Office of Cultural Affairs, it certainly added responsibilities to our team.
In fact, before the City Performance Hall opened in 2012, Munoz Blanco caught flack from smaller arts groups. They feared her office wasn't able to handle the responsibilities of booking and managing the new hall. The hall's opening was less than a year away, and many hadn't been consulted on their needs or what support they could expect when renting the space. Munoz Blanco says there were lots of moving parts in opening the facility, and keeping the arts groups informed should have been done sooner. But she points to the hall's success as it enters its third season.
It's getting very, very good use from the music groups, from the dance groups, and I think music just sounds beautifully in the space, and it is a magical place for dance.
Munoz Blanco again faced controversy in 2012 when the city-owned radio station, WRR, suffered a great deal of staff turnover. Some employees were fired, others quit. WRR is the only cultural organization the Office of Cultural Affairs actually runs, and Munoz Blanco's leadership style was seen as the cause of the departures. Munoz Blanco says some of the turnover was to be expected with a change in station management. She also cites WRR's nature as a provider of classical music.
WRR, while it is a radio station, more than anything, it's a classical music organization. And I think some of the challenges of WR have to do with being a classical music organization.
Those challenges include the need to expand and diversify its small audience while not alienating diehard classical music fans. So changes in the station's programming and sales approach are to be expected. Going forward, Munoz Blanco says the Arts District may still see some additional facilities. The City Performance Hall was intended as the first phase in what may be a cluster of smaller performance halls. Munoz Blanco says regardless of whether the other spaces get built, the next cultural affairs director will face a changing job.
I think some of our older buildings, age is catching up with them, and resources to refurbish old buildings are not easy to come by. I think talking about dedicated funding for the arts in Dallas should be a very interesting conversation.
So, she says, directing cultural affairs for Dallas will probably be less glamorous, less about creating new opportunities through new buildings. It'll be more about how to keep what Dallas has, find new ways to finance them, and to support the city's arts groups. One place to start, Munoz Blanco points out, the city hasn't updated its cultural plan since 2002. Munoz Blanco leaves her current job October 3rd and won't say what her new job is. She'll wait for her employer to announce it. But it'll take her to South Florida, where she has family, and she'll get to work more directly in the arts. Jerome Weeks, KERA News.
Spanish architect Luis Vidal has spent the last decade trying to build airports and hospitals you want to visit. As part of KERA's Breakthroughs project, Lauren Silverman spoke with Vidal at an interactive exhibit at the Dallas Center for Architecture.
Springing out from metal stems along the walls are 6,000 coaster-sized paper cards. Each one has been hand-planted, like a flower that's sprouted sideways.
And if you spend time looking at them, you begin to discover things like some have messages.
Luis Vidal takes out his cell phone, opens a free app, and holds it in front of one of the red circle cards. A building becomes three-dimensional, and you can actually enter a room like in a video game. Another red card brings up a video showing the construction of one of Vidal's most recent projects, Terminal 2 at London's Heathrow Airport. The structure is open and sleek, with an undulating roof that mimics the movement of a bird's wing. There's natural light and calm white spaces, instead of loud signage and those duty-free shops hawking liquor and perfume. The philosophy behind Vidal's airports is simple. Put the passenger first. Make the space easy to maneuver, not overwhelming. It's also the philosophy behind the hospitals he's designed. Put the patient first.
Because normally people tend to be anxious when they go to hospital. So we try and make them more humane, we try and make them more urban, we try and get society to use the building without being afraid of them.
On display, for example, is a hospital designed in Vigo, Spain. When it opens in 2015, it will be the largest in Europe with 1,500 beds. The new Parkland Hospital in Dallas will have fewer than 900. Vidal wanted the building to blend in, to be inviting. So his firm used prismatic paint on the outside. That paint changes colors depending on the angle you look at it.
So as you're driving past, the building changes colors. So we chose white, green, and blue because those are the three predominant colors in Vigo, with the sky, the sea, and the mountain.
Colors also play an important role inside the hospitals Vidal has designed, guiding visitors through the buildings without flashy signs. Doors and entrances are blue, information areas are red, and doctors' areas are white. Sound, Vidal says, is also part of hospital design. Some areas need to be quiet. Others, he says, should feel alive.
When you're closer to the main entrance, when you're in the lobby, you want the place not to sound dead. You want the place to be vibrant, maybe with a little bit of music ambience, be able to hear, you know, shoes walking. The building cannot be a piece of sculpture. It has to be designed with pragmatism, with functionality, so it's got its own life in the future.
Which is why Vidal also brings in garden hospitals and renewable energy. As a bonus, that can lower operational costs for medical buildings, which are generally open 24/7. Vidal hasn't designed any hospitals in the U.S. yet, but he's working on two in South America. It's all part of his mission to create a new concept of healthcare architecture around the globe. Lauren Silverman, KERA News.
We got a 30% chance of rain with a high around 90 expected today. From the KERA Newsroom, I'm Sam Baker.